Give up that extra drink and give the money saved to charity. That's the plea that Ireland's Catholic bishops are making in their pastoral letter for Lent this year. Entitled Alcohol, the Challenge of Moderation, the bishop's letter is prompted by Ireland's 40% increase in alcohol consumption over the past 10 years. This pastoral letter includes suggestions for limiting alcohol use, including the important recognition that the human person needs the support of others. In addition, the bishops suggest giving money to favourite charities rather than spend it on drinks, and reducing drinking, particularly during the Lenten season. Susie Hodges picks up the story.
Ireland has long had a reputation for its pub culture and its enjoyment of alcohol. But all too often, this love of drinking can end in drunkenness, and that's where the problem begins. Most of the drinking done by men in Ireland is binge drinking nowadays, and the levels of this habit are higher in Ireland than in any other European country. Faced with these alarming statistics, the Catholic bishops are urging the use of moderation when it comes to alcohol consumption in their pastoral letter for Lent. Eamon Walsh is the auxiliary bishop of Dublin and vice chair of the church's Drugs and Alcohol Initiative. He was one of the main authors of the bishop's pastoral letter and spoke to me about its aims.
The purpose behind it was people usually try and do some penitential act during the season of Lent, and we wanted to put to them a penitential act that would deal with the problem that we have in the country at the moment, which is the challenge of moderation in the use of alcohol. And the proposal was that if people agreed to abstain from alcohol or to reduce their intake by one-third at the end of Lent, to evaluate what effect did that have on their health, on their relationships, on the way they worked, and from a Christian point of view, what use did they put the resources that they saved? Did they use them to help the poor at home or in the third world? And could they motivate themselves to do this from the Christian perspective of reaching out to our brother as often as you did it to the least of my brothers, you did it to me?
Bishop Walsh believes that one of the main challenges facing people in Ireland is how to change this culture of drinking to excess.
The pastoral was to encourage the adult population to lead by example. And that is the best message that we can give our young people. Now, their approach to alcohol is the quicker they get high or smashed, as they call it, the better. While the older generation would try to keep control of themselves completely when drinking, and the whole notion of kind of getting what they call smashed just didn't enter into things. So that's a complete change around. And in addition to the reduction of alcohol was to start a debate to see how can we have responsible drinking that people can enjoy themselves and at the same time not drink to excess. And the example of the damage that's been done is that our casualty wards in the hospitals are chock-a-block with drink-related problems, that so much violence in home and on the streets is related to alcohol, and that the workforce performance is something that is damaged by it. People ask the question, is this something to do with the Irish temperament? And I think I can't answer that, but what I can say is that if something is culturally acceptable, then it's more likely to be passed on from one generation to another. So we're trying to change that culture and say that moderation is enjoyment and healthy.
So why do so many young people indulge in so-called binge drinking, where the purpose is to get drunk as fast as possible by downing several drinks in quick succession? A question I put to Chris Murphy, who works for the church's social care agency Crosscare and acts as a counsellor for those suffering from alcohol abuse problems.
Well, In the case of the young people binge drinking, it is, as young people always have done, it's about pushing the boundaries. It's about testing new experiences. It's probably the same reason that people do bungee jumping or parachute jumping as well. It's pushing oneself to the extremes and it's looking to find out what it's like. So it's experimentation. But there's a huge difference between parachute jumping and drinking, which is the addictive property of alcohol. And it is much easier to get into something like binge drinking than to get out of it again. And I really think that we haven't encouraged people to debate these issues sufficiently so that they start to think about the consequences and the advisability for themselves. And in a way, that's what's behind this pastoral calling for a debate. I feel that a lot of Irish people ask the question, will I get away with it or not? In the young person's case, this question is about whether the parents will catch me or whether I'll get away with it. In a young adult's case, it may be whether the police will catch me drink driving or not, or whether I'll be able to get up for work in the morning. But we feel that there is a whole lot of other questions that people need to be able to ask themselves, and a whole other debate about the advisability of this kind of drinking for the whole person, the health, for their wealth, for their spiritual enrichment, for the family, and so on.
In Murphy's view, the negative fallout from the abuse of alcohol is far greater than many people realise, as he goes on to explain.
The drink driving statistics have been very worrying, but also events like the fact that at a weekend when young people are drinking, the A&D and the Rape Crisis Centre, the sexual assault clinics, have a lot of clients, and some of them think that their drinks have been spiked with drugs such as Rohypnol, a tranquilizer. In virtually every case, they find that alcohol itself is the cause of somebody having passed out and maybe having been sexually active without their own consent or having been the victim of sexual assault. So alcohol is having much greater effects than a lot of people are willing to admit. It is the cause of a lot of rows and a lot of marital disharmony. It is said that there are more children concerned about a parent's drinking than there are parents concerned about their children's drinking.
But how influential is sports sponsorship and advertising in persuading many people, especially the young, that drinking is cool and glamorous? Bishop Walsh again.
I would love a psychologist to give their view of what does it mean when you affix the name of an alcoholic beverage to a sporting event. And it's almost like as if you stencil that brand name on the minds of the young and all age groups on an occasion where it's highly emotionally charged, such as at a cup final or so forth. And you can't even look up on the television index of what programs are on without seeing the brand name of alcohol attached with the particular sporting event. I'm deliberately not using the names of events because I don't want to reinforce yet more.
When it comes, as you say, to advertisements, it's not just sponsorship in sporting events, but could it not be argued that advertising in general of alcoholic beverages portrays drinking as glamorous and fun, and this particularly must have an impact on the young?
Well, I would agree with that approach that it certainly does have an impact on the young, and they have restricted advertising in the context of smoking. And I would think that something similar should happen in alcohol.
Concern over high levels of cocaine abuse is also an issue in contemporary Ireland. But according to Bishop Walsh, what many people forget is that alcohol is also a drug and is far more widely abused.
It is the first drug of choice for 90% of the people. We have a lot of concern about cocaine and heroin. And I saw recently in one of the Italian programs what a big problem it is down in Naples. But it's still far less a problem than alcohol. But because so many of us indulge in alcohol, we feel uneasy to speak about this. And this pastoral letter is addressed to all professions. We're not taking a holier than thou. We're saying this is something that affects everybody, ourselves included. let's all try and cut down by a third, or have at least have a debate about how much is it part of my life.
Ireland's economy has boomed over the past two decades, and it's now one of the world's richest countries. But Bishop Walsh believes that this newfound affluence, coupled with the pressures of today's fast-paced society, is helping to fuel the practice of drinking to excess.
We're in an Ireland that has great prosperity, but we have a drink problem that is coming at a time of prosperity, but pressure from work and family and commuting to work, and our people just easing their pressure with alcohol. And the message that's coming from, if you like, the consumer society is more is better. And what we're saying is more is not necessarily better, particularly in the context of alcohol.
As a counsellor, Murphy has come face to face with many people who are struggling to deal with their addiction to alcohol. He shares with us the story of one of his former clients.
A person called Pat who had come, and she has a good job, so she's a professional person, and she found herself quite often drinking so much that she would pass out in the evenings at home. It was just unwinding at the end of a day. It was comfort thing, and it was de-stressing because her work was definitely stressful. What she didn't know was that some of her colleagues had also noticed. Now, a person like her was struggling with her own willpower to try to pull herself together, and she was quite willing to come for counselling. But I think that the big insight that happened for her was when she stopped relying on her own willpower, because a friend from work eventually got her and said, listen, I know what you're going through because I've been through it as well. And these two people managed to develop a good relationship, and she became willing to take help and to accept support from other people and stop relying on her willpower. Then she sorted herself out and she's doing very well at the moment.
It's tough enough for the person who is suffering from a drink problem, but Murphy says their addiction also has a heavy impact on their family, as he explains in this anecdote involving that same woman's daughter.
The mother had gone drinking after a golf match one night, and when the daughter found out, she smashed up the golf clubs and went into a really strong rage, which again helped the mother to take her own problem more seriously. It is very heartrending and very frustrating for family members, and yet a family can't sort out a drinker in the family. It has to come from outside.
Heavy drinking and being drunk often is seen as just harmless fun. But experts say the sobering reality is that alcohol addiction can tear a family apart and destroy a life. I'm Susie Hodges.
Well, my thanks there go to Susie there and her guests, who are the Auxiliary Bishop of Dublin, Eamon Walsh, who's also one of the authors of the Bishop's Pastoral Letter, and Chris Murphy, who works for the church's social care agency, Crosscare, and acts as counsellor for those suffering from alcohol abuse problems.